Yeah, I'm with you. Thank God we're going to give the 144,000 a break now. But I have to say one more thing concerning them before we move on to the vast throng. Yes, the vast throng follows the 144,000. And this is where all you folks who are disappointed that there are no women in the 144,000, you will be satisfied with the vast throng. I mean the vast throng. I did that on purpose. Now, I got to say this, tie up this loose end. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender here. This is the Revelation series. We're in chapter 7. We will soon be in chapter 8, but we're not there yet. We're still in chapter 7. We're giving it a thorough treatment. I want you to understand the difference between rule and administration. I said that in Jerusalem, the rule will go forth. There will be David acting in the stead of Jesus Christ, and there will be the 12 apostles, and they will be ruling. They're the political entity, but the administration is carried out. The justice is carried out with an iron club by the 144,000. They're the hands-on dudes who go out, fan out over all the nations, and they're the police force, if you will. I hate to use that term because the police today are getting a bad rap, and many cases deservedly. But we have, again, a righteous rule. No mistakes are being made. No people are being shot in the back while they're running away from you. No, rather, this is righteous, this is just, and no one will be able to appeal the courts of God. There won't be any of this long, drawn-out court affair where the taxpayers pay thousands and thousands of dollars to house criminals so that there can be a lengthy trial and long waits. It's not fair to the criminals, really. If they're guilty, shoot them and get it over with. That's what's going to happen in the kingdom. There's going to be capital punishment. And the corpses will be in the Valley of Gehenna, of course, the smoldering corpses. They're dead. They're not living people in hell in the kingdom. That's where people think Jesus, they think because of the common versions, they think that Jesus said the Valley of Hell. And the common versions will take three beautifully distinctive Greek words, Gehenna, Hades, and Tartarus, and they will translate them all hell, which is a hell of a mistake because it feeds this insane idea of eternal torment. Gehenna is a place of capital punishment. No doubt the 144,000, I said I was done with them, didn't I? Here I am talking about them again. No doubt they will be among the nations and they will be calling out the criminals, bringing them to Jerusalem for instant retribution. And that'll be a mercy to everyone. The taxpayers will be greatly relieved. And the criminals, too, will say, yeah, I deserve it. You're done. And next thing you know, you're a smoldering corpse. You're not being tormented eternally. You're dead. We will see you again at the Great White Throne Judgment. And then you will possibly enter into the new earth at that time or be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, more unconsciousness. Next thing you know, it's the consummation. And you live happily ever after with God, as everyone does. So now we move on. Now we are in chapter 7, verse 9. Again, this will satisfy you concerning there being no women among the 144,000. Verse 9, chapter 7, the unveiling. After these things, I perceived, John speaking, and lo, a vast throng, which no one was able to number. Now, the 144,000 obviously were able to number them because there will be no less and no more than 144,000. But here is a vast throng. Now, for the life of me, I have no idea where these people are coming from if we restrict this to that little dusty nation in the Middle East, Israel. You can't do it. I can't even figure out how to do it with the 144,000. There aren't that many faithful Jews in Israel. There are no faithful Jews in Israel. None of them believe that in Jesus the Messiah. Most of them are Orthodox Jews. They're still waiting for the Messiah. So where are they coming from? As we will see, they're coming from all the nations. Going to read a great quote. I'm going to read a great quote from Deuteronomy. And you're really going to love this quote from Deuteronomy. Thank you, Elmer Fudd. Yeah, very, very good quote. I'm going to quote a very, very interesting quote. Where from? From Deuteronomy. Oh, very good. Thank you, Elmer. After these things, I perceived a vast throng, which no one was able to number, out of all nations and the tribes and peoples and languages. Look at that. See? out of all nations and the tribes and peoples and languages. That's why Israel's hidden right now. It's a genius operation of God. Because the world is looking at these obvious things. They think they know where Israel is. But Israel is actually undercover right now. They're flying under the radar. They're as true as can be. If you could trace their blood, God can trace their blood. We can't. We don't know. It's way too complicated for us. Not for God. He knows it way back, way back, way back, way back. That guy living in Indiana named Bill is a descendant of Gad. That's right, Egad. That was his first initial, one of the sons of Jacob. I think that's fantastic because they're coming out of all the nations and tribes, people's languages, standing in sight of the throne and in sight of the Lambkin. And do you know how it said? I think Mark Twain said this once, that the world may never know of the greatest general who ever lived. If you talk about the greatest war general who ever lived, people might say Patton, Sherman, Grant, Eisenhower, whatever. But Twain made the point that these men only became known and famous because they were put in the circumstance that drew out their greatness. And there could have been the greatest general that ever lived, who lived in a time of peace, who never had the situation present itself to show his mettle, to show who he was. And so the greatest general in the world might rise, and we might see who this was in the resurrection, and the greatest general is Alan Jones. Alan Jones, who the hell ever heard of him? He was the greatest general, but he never had a circumstance to draw out his talents, to draw it out. Well, the day of indignation, the tribulation, is going to draw out the people of God. You know, we never live up to our potential, do we? You never live up to your potential unless you're put in an extenuating circumstance, an extremity of some kind. Anthony Hopkins, by the way. Anthony Hopkins. That's the actor I've been trying to think of for 3 days. Thank you for inundating me with emails about Anthony Hopkins. We're never put in circumstances. Few of us are. Some of us are. And you remember that guy who was bicycling in Utah and he fell into a chasm of some kind and his arm got caught on a rock and he was trapped there for 3 days, could not get himself out, and he ended up cutting his arm off with a knife. Fully conscious, cutting his arm off. He never would have done that in his everyday life. This guy's a hero. He's amazing. He said no, but the situation drew it out of him. So we have many Israelites, Alan Jones, Joe Smith, Cynthia Warren, whoever, sitting on their sofas watching The Simpsons, and yet the day of indignation is going to come, and they are going to rise to the occasion. They are part of the vast throng. They have to be. They have to be, because they're not obvious Israelites. They're coming, I'm telling you, from the Americas, from Europe, and from every tribe, every nation. So everyone. I can't specify, but I can only say that I think the majority are coming from these nations which today have the Word of God, putting forth the Word of God, but they're a bunch of hypocrites, just like regular Israelites. They take God for their own advantage and their own satisfaction, and to hell with everybody else. That's an earmark of Israel. So again, as I said before, if you want to find the lost 10 tribes of Israel, don't look for the bloodline, look for the characteristics. A bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. That's where you'll find Israel. And we're loaded with them, folks. You're surrounded by them. Every church on every corner in America is loaded with self-righteous hypocrites. And so I say the majority of them are in the Anglo-Saxon nations. However, I will not usurp the word of God here. And it's said here that the vast throng comes out of all nations and the tribes and peoples and languages. And they stand in sight of the throne and in the sight of the Lambkin, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. This is important, that there are palms in their hands. This is suggestive of tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering, because I am going to propose to you today that the 144,000 are the first fruit, and it says that in Revelation 14:4. These are those who are not polluted with women. They are celibates. These are those who are following the Lambkin wherever it should be going. These are bought from mankind, a first fruit to God and the Lambkin. So if the 144,000 are the first fruit, listen to this, then the innumerable throng are the ingathering. Because that's exactly what happened in the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why I think all this stuff is going to go down in October. Not this October. but in October. That's the Feast of the Ingathering. And what is going to happen among the nations with all these people coming out of the woodwork, out of nowhere? It's not going to be nowhere to me. I'm going to be looking at this from among the celestials, and I won't be surprised. I'll be delighted to see it happening, but I'll be like, I told you so. Don't count me out on that. I'm going to say that. I can't help it. I told you so. All these people we thought were just stupid Paul people. Why are they paying attention to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or Juke. You throw him in there. He was the fifth guy that nobody listened to. Why are they paying attention to James? Why do they love Hebrews? Why are they so obsessed with ceremonies and Israel things? Because maybe they're deep down Israelites, offspring of Asher, Naphtali, Issachar, Dan, Reuben. And so we're going to see this amazing sweep. You know, and we're going to talk about a horrible thing later when we open the seventh seal, and we're going to see locusts coming out of the earth, and it's going to be, where did they come from? God! Well, it's going to be the same thing with this innumerable thong. There I go. I don't want to see a vast thong or innumerable thongs. Well, maybe under certain circumstances, but we're going to see when this vast throng comes forth. It's going to be miraculous. Where did they come from? Like ants out of an anthill. But they were there all along, and they were somehow, some way being incubated, being made ready. And they are clothed in white robes, and palms are in their hands, and they are crying with a loud voice, saying, I'm in verse 10 of chapter 7 of the unveiling, salvation be our God's, who is sitting on the throne, and of the Lambkin. And all the messengers stood around the throne, and the elders and the four animals, and they fall on their faces in sight of the throne and worship God, saying, Amen. The bliss and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be our God's. I love that. I love every word of that exclamation of praise. And I'm going to read it again. This is the elders. These are the animals, the four animals. And these are the messengers, the angelic beings standing around who are witnessing that God has never forgotten his people. He's never forgotten his people. And they see them now finally coming forth from every nation, every language. And they say this, Amen. The bliss and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be our God's for the eons of the eons. Amen. And what is happening here will reverberate throughout the eons of the eons. That is the kingdom eon and the eon of the new earth. Because Israel, while they will be kings and priests in the 1,000 years, they will retire their priesthood and remain as kings in the fifth eon. And that will be a long eon. And so this coming out, if you will, of the vast throng, who are Israelites, going to point that out for the rest of this week. Who are Israelites? They are Israelites. Don't look for your place here. Don't look for any other nation but Israel. True, they are in other nations. They are under the radar, speaking every language you can imagine. Italian, Greek, Spanish, German, Portuguese, English, Swahili. They are speaking every language. And God knows who they are. God knows where they are. And when they are manifested, the only thing greater than this will be our manifestation before the throne of God. But when they are manifested, not only will the earth be amazed and the people be stunned at what is coming out of tribulation, Tribulation is necessary to bring these people out. But the celestial world as well will be marveling, glorying, saying, Amen. Honor and power and strength be our God's, because God is the one responsible for this miracle.